Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to be gathered once again in our Father's house. And today, I guess the theme is we love people here. It's Life Sunday. It is the day we're distributing the Thanksgiving baskets for families. And it's the day that we're having First Communion for our sixth grade class. And so lots going on at St. Mark's as usual. It is wonderful to be gathered here in our Father's house to receive from him the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we so desperately need, and to be able to have an opportunity to return praise and thanksgiving to him for all that he has done for us. Let us begin this service, remembering the day that we were adopted into his family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us this day, Lord, that we can set some holy time, Lord, aside to be in your presence, Lord, to receive from you and to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would send your Spirit to work in and among us today. Help us, Lord, as your word is taught, sung, proclaimed, so that we can know you better, Lord, and so that our faith in you may grow. Thank you for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing praise to our God.
God is great. Give him all the praise.
Hallelujah.
Name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere is glory on display.
Take a look at those stars. He can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls.
Demons have to run, the angels have to praise.
Even the wind and the waves obey.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. An awesome God, and even when I ran, he didn't run away. He came and put death back in its place. Friday on a cross, broken for my shame. Sunday morning rose up from that grave.
Take a
look at the scars on his hands and feet.
He saved our souls for eternity.
Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King.
Oh, let all the saints and the angels sing.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Eyes on the sky, there will be a day. He will come and wipe our tears away. No more fear, no more pain, no more sorrow, sin, or shame.
The King is coming back again.
A reign of love that will never end. For everything you've done, and everything you do, and everything in your heart, I'll sing to you.
My God, you're an awesome God. You're great in all you do. I'm made to worship you, my God. You're an awesome God.
Ooh.
Good morning. My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to read the scriptures for you this morning. Our first reading comes from Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. This is the word of the Lord.
The scripture reading for this morning is John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. It's now time for the children's message. Kids, if you guys would come forward at this time. Pastor Dar has the children's message today.
Where are all the kids? There they are. We got a whole bunch of kids out here. But you know what? Today, since there's not a gigantic number of you, I'm going to disobey the rules. I want you to come up close. Can you come up here and sit with me? No? You don't want to break the rules, do you? Okay, well, you can stay right where you are, okay? Now, I just want to ask you something. Have you ever had someone say to you, "How big are you?" And how did you answer? Do you remember? Remember what you did? Maybe they don't do that anymore. I'm so big. Did you ever do that? No? Come on, grandpas and grandmas, we got to do this. Get back to it, you know. So when somebody asks you how big you are, sometimes real little kids would say, so big, right? So I have a question for you. Have you always been as big as you are? Yeah. Have you? No. You grew up and you're going to keep growing, right? Do you think I've always been as big as I am? No. In fact, I want you to look at the screen. That's me when I was less than 1 year old. With curly hair. So I haven't always been this big. I've grown up. And God is the one who makes us grow. But you know, it's a wonderful story of how God made us, how we've grown. Now, I have something here, and I'm going to give you each one before you go back to your seats. That's why I wanted you up a little closer. Can you see what I've got in my hand? Can you see that? So you got to get closer to see it. Can you all see that? That's how big all of us were 8 weeks in our mommy's tummy. And we had all of our fingers and toes, our arms and our legs, our heart was beating, and everything we were going to be was already in our body at 8 weeks old. And then at 12 weeks old, that's how big all of us were in our mommy's tummy. And God loved us in all of that. But here's how we started out. If you look up there, see that little circle? That was about as big as the end of my little finger the first day that God created us. And then we grew to this, and then we grew, where'd I put it? To this. And then we've grown up to where we are now, and we're going to keep growing. And did you know that Jesus loved us even when we were like that, and like this, and like this? It's a miracle of his love. And it's all because he made us the way we are. And we need to thank him for that. So would you join me as we pray, thanking God for making us and causing us to grow? Pray after me, okay? Dear God, thank you for your love. It started when you created me. And as you helped me grow, continue to show me your love as I continue to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now I want to give you all, by the way, I put them in a little snack bag because I was afraid if I handed the kids one separately, they might think it was a gummy. So get one of these before you leave. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take it and give it to your moms and dads before you go to little worship so you don't have to, you might lose it on the way. Okay, everybody needs one of these. And remember, it's when you were 8 weeks old in your mommy's tummy, okay? Oops. Thank you. There's one. There's one. Oops. There's one. There's one. There's one. There's one there. Got two of them. There's one. There's one. You got it? Everybody got one? See how little that baby is? That's how little we all were. Did you get one? There you go. There, you got a couple of them. All right. Everybody got one? I'm going to put these out on the display tables out front, so if anybody else wants one, they can get them there, okay? I don't know whether that shows me how old I am or what, but I thought some of the kids would know about so big, but I guess I really am old, though. That's all part of it. God cares about life. And I specifically chose the scripture that were read just a moment ago, because he gives us a choice. Back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, he said, choose today whether you want blessings or curses, life or death. Choose life, and then we will have the blessings that God has for us. We live in a culture that doesn't always choose life. And I know there are all kinds of opinions about that. The outline in your bulletin is something that is kind of a total run through our conception to our death. And how does God fit into that? How does he want to have us choose life and give us blessing after blessing? It's interesting that both of the scriptures that were read earlier talked about the importance of doing what God says, following what God's word says. And so today I'm just going to ask you, even though you may have come in with all kinds of information dumped on you from our culture about life and decisions about life, I'm going to ask you to come along with me and let's just say, what does God say? And when we know our God and his love for us in Jesus, as we began our service, whose we are at our baptism, at some point in our life, maybe later, we were brought into his family. And once we get into his family, we say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to see life? We won't always do it, but he wants that for us. On your outline in the bulletin, and there are pages there for the scriptures if you'd like to do that, and they'll be on the screen also. But let's just look at God's intentions for life. This is Jesus in John 10, verse 10. This is right after he taught about himself being the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. And he says to the people then and to us now, the thief, that's the evil one, the devil ultimately, the side of the world that wants us to go away from what God says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. God's intention for us is to have a full and productive life. Now, how am I going to have a full and productive life? I can have all kinds of understandings about what I think it ought to be, and I can even be driven by the decisions that come into my mind. But for a child of God, we say, what does God say about how we live that life to the full, that productive life? We can't rely upon our own understanding. We need to rely upon him. A number of years ago, and I'm guessing it's probably not a whole lot different. A man by the name of George Barna did a survey, and he was one who did surveys that he extrapolated from those surveys Christian teaching. And he did a survey of regular attending Christians. Now, this was 30 years ago. And he defined regular attending Christians, those who attended worship 35 times a year. Now, he had to set a standard for his survey, and I always thought it was interesting that there's 52 Sundays in a year, and there's other special services, and he defined regular attending Christians as those who went 35 times. Now, he might have to dumb it down a little more than that today. But on the basis of that, he asked those regular attending Christians, and he found that over half of them did not have a biblical worldview. Now, what's that mean? They didn't ask the question about decisions that were confronting them in life. What does God say about it? They went totally with their own understanding and reason. Those are regular attending Christians. So today, I want to just ask you to walk with me and say, what does God say will make my life productive and meaningful, will be real life, as Jesus says he wants us all to have? And we're just going to walk through the stages of life. So let's look, first of all, at conception to birth. You saw in the children's message that little circle, which is the sperm uniting with the egg, and that's the first day of our life. And you saw the little babies that I shared with the children. And God has this to say about life in the womb and up to birth. First of all, in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." It's a miracle. Life is a miracle as it develops. Out in the entranceway on the bulletin board over by this door, there's a whole series of month by month, the development of a human being within their mother's womb. Take a look at that before you leave. Watch how God creates life. And then if we go back to Genesis, when God first created human life, having created all the rest of creation that we have now and enjoy, he, as the crown of creation, created human beings. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, this is what he says. "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." Again, what we're asking is, what does God say about life? Not what do I think about life, not what does the culture teach me about life, but what does God say about life? He created humanity, and he created male and female. You won't always get that from the culture, but that's what God says. And so today we're asking, what does God say about life? And how does it impact me having life to the full that he wants us all to have? He created from the moment of conception, and he created us male and female. What about as we're growing up? What does God have to say about that? Now, by the way, I didn't have 4 or 5 hours to share this with you. There's much more scripture about each one of these points than I'm sharing with you. But these are some key ones. What does God want our life to look like? Now, we don't know this at the moment of our birth. We have to be taught it. It has to be influenced into our life. And I think that's really a key for us adults who surround children, whether we're the parents, grandparents, or friends, whoever we are. What do we want to instill in children and in all of us as we're growing up? Well, the apostle, or the book of Proverbs says in chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Don't trust your own understanding. And I just have to say it loud and clear, and I'll probably say it again. If we listen to the culture, if we listen to the voices around us, we'll be operating according to our own understanding, not according to God's word. Trust. Put your confidence in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on what you think is right, but what does God say is right? We talk about affirming life from womb to tomb. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're affirming life from its inception to the natural death that God brings about. As we're growing up, trust in the Lord. Don't rely on understanding or reason that we all have and that the culture informs us of. What about family life? I think family life is a key to all of these life decisions. In Ephesians chapter 6, this is how the Apostle Paul describes family life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For that is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. In our culture, voices say to us, concerning the inception of life and the pregnancy time, that it's a woman's body and it's her choice what to do with her body. It's interesting that there are pregnancy resource centers all over the country, and they have found that one of the key things to helping women deal with unplanned pregnancies, and of course there's a man involved, may not be father or husband at that time, but there's a man involved. And these pregnancy resource centers have found that when they get men involved with life decisions, even in the womb, the abortion rate goes down. If a man says, well, that's your choice and it's up to you, abortions go up. If a man says, I'm with you, I'll hang in there with you, I want to go the process with you, I'm the father of the child, and whether you get married or not, I'm in this with you, they have found that the abortion rate goes down. What's happening now is that they're discovering that 60% of men are pro-life. And when they also are involved in the process, the decision changes. 75% of pregnancy resource centers now around the country, and of course the one that we're probably most familiar with through the ministry of St. Mark's is My Life Pregnancy Resource Center. Those resource centers, 75% of them now have a program for the men involved in the pregnancy. And they have found that this is very helpful to help them grow as a man, grow as a father, maybe even become involved beyond the birth of the child in that child's life. God's design for the family is father and mother. God's design for the father is to be the spiritual head of the family. That's why these words in Ephesians are addressed to father. It certainly includes the mother. But Paul says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Don't frustrate your children. I believe frustration primarily is when a father becomes inconsistent. He says one thing to his child and does another. And God says, don't frustrate your child, but train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Family in these life decisions is a key. And it not only includes the father-mother family, it includes the extended family. The important role of parents as well as grandparents. What kind of legacy are we intentionally passing on to our children? Questions for mother, father, grandpa, grandma, and other adults in the extended family. What about when we face the challenges and changes of life? What does God have to say about that? We all go through it. We all have our ups and downs, good times, bad times. Life isn't consistent like we would like it to be many times. And unplanned things come in. What does God have to say about that? Well, again, only one passage can we go to today, but in Isaiah 41, verse 10, this is what Isaiah says. So do not fear, God is talking, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Right hand was a figure of strength and power. And so Isaiah says, God, the one who has strength and power above all others, is with you. In the good times, in the bad times, when things change beyond our control, when things change beyond our expectation, when they become challenges, God's there. He is pro-life. He is for life. That's what pro means. He wants the best for us in life, from womb to tomb. And where do I find out what his best is for my life? In his word. Not in my own reasoning. Not in the messages that are constantly bombarding me from my culture. But what does God say about life? How does he affirm life at every stage? How is he pro or for life? What does he say about it? Look at his word. And finally, our God is not only concerned about the physical life that we live out in this world, he's not only concerned about from womb to tomb, he is concerned about life and is pro-life beyond the tomb. And he's the only one that can provide that. He assures us that when this life is over, we have a place in heaven. But he has some standards for that also, and they are in his word. We have a tendency when our culture speaks or when our reason speaks, we say about everyone who has passed on, well, they're in a better place. Well, that's not necessarily true. They're in a better place when they put their trust in God, and he is the God of pro-life. Life also eternally. Look at Isaiah 46. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, Even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. I'm with you all the way beyond death. A number of years ago, when we had evangelism ministry going here at St. Mark's, we used a tract that said, like it or not, you're going to live forever. And the tract and our ministry of evangelism seeking to reach other people was to tell them that there's only one way that live forever will be in a better place in heaven. And Jesus tells us that very simply in John chapter 6, verse 47. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. God is pro-life at every stage. God wants the best for us. He wants our life to be fulfilling and productive. But He says, I have the guidelines for you to do that, and they're in My Word. Just a couple of thoughts before I conclude. Out in the entranceway are two tables by each of the doors, and the materials on there are from Lutherans for Life, and they have a lot of information about the ministry of Lutherans for Life and the importance of life. Also on those tables are information about an upcoming amendment that our Missouri legislator is trying to get on the ballot in November. The final wording of that ballot will be approved early in December of this year. And the amendment is to overturn the approval of Amendment 3 that Missouri voted for last year, which opened up the door for abortions with no supervision of any medical kind, opened up abortions without parental consent, opened up transgender surgeries without parental consent, and a number of other things. That information is on the table. Now, here's the irony of it all, and you just need to know this. We approved Amendment 3, which opened up abortion without any limitations last year. It so happens that this one will be Amendment 3 again, because it's the third amendment being proposed for the ballot. Now, that's going to confuse people like crazy. This time, if you are pro-life like our God is, vote for Amendment 3 when it comes next year. Last year, we said don't vote for Amendment 3 if you're a pro-life believer in Jesus. So it's kind of confusing. And then one last thing. Well, two last things. Bible class this morning, we're going to continue to pursue these pro-life issues. And second last announcement is on the 30th, your life team and Lutherans for Life here at St. Mark's has scheduled a time to pray for a culture of life in the prayer chapel at 8:30 a.m. last Sunday of this month, on November 30th, and we would invite you to join us for that. Would you pray with me about all this? And I just hope it's not overwhelming. I hope it's encouraging. Heavenly Father, we are your people, bought with the blood of Jesus. He paid for our sin and our relationship with you. Forgive us when we have not turned to you for direction in our life. And we just ask you to open our hearts and minds to be pro-life like you are. That's a simple prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all my creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. Let's pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us once again. And Lord, in this day, we remember the all the people, Lord, who need help, the weakest and the smallest, the ones who can't speak for themselves, the ones without a voice. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of the unborn, those who are in so many times in jeopardy. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be their advocate, to speak for them, Lord, to show our love for you by loving them and by loving the people that you have given them to support them. Lord, I pray that you would just give us wisdom and strength and the words to say and the opportunities to act. Lord, we pray for those who are receiving Thanksgiving baskets today. Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every one of those families, Lord. Let this gift be a reminder, Lord, of your incredible love for them. And let this gift draw them ever closer to you. And Lord, we thank you for all the opportunities to serve the people of our community and world this Thanksgiving and Christmas, Lord. There are so many opportunities to serve that sometimes we feel like too many people are asking, Lord, but instead let us look at all of this as opportunities, Lord, to show your love, that same love that we have received from you to the people of this world. And Lord, we pray for the local government today. Lord, especially we want to pray for the school districts, for the teachers, administrators, and school boards, that they may honorably serve and educate and help the children, Lord, to become ready to live successfully at life. Lord, we pray for those who are sick and injured in our congregation and throughout our community and in our families. Lord, you are the God who heals, the God who loves, the God who promises that there is one day coming when all the hurts are going to go away, Lord, and we anticipate that day. But Lord, today we ask that you would alleviate suffering and pain and troubles in the lives of the people. Lord, I pray that you would heal them. And Lord, if not heal them, give them all the strength and support that they need, Lord, to go through the difficulties which they face. And Lord, we pray for the young people of our congregation, Lord, and especially we pray for those who are receiving First Communion today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to richly bless them, Lord. Help them to grow in faith in you so that they can have confidence at all times through this life and that they can have confidence that they will spend eternity with you on the day that you call them home. Thank you, Lord, for all these things, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." All right, my friends, please be seated at this time. The first people I'd like to call forward are those who are receiving communion for the first time and their families. And so you guys know who you are. These young people have actually gone through 3 whole weeks of me training them, teaching them about the history of communion, what God gave us in communion, the meaning, the substance, the traditions, and how, and the most importantly, how to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And today they are ready to begin. All right, kids. Now, when I interviewed you, every single one of you could tell me, what are the blessings that we receive in Holy Communion? What are they? Be bold, just say it. What is it? Strength to do what? To live a Christian life and the forgiveness of sins. And so we know that our God is good, right? We know that he keeps his promises. We know that he does what he says he's going to do. And if he says that in this meal he is going to give us forgiveness, does he give us forgiveness? And if he tells us he's going to give us strength, does he give us strength? So can we have confidence that in this meal our God has been faithful? So with that confidence, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen.
You feel the world is broken, we do. Do you feel the shadows deepen,
we do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through,
we do.
Do you wish that you would see it all made new? Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this?
It is.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's throne and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of
the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those he loves?
He does.
Does our God intend to dwell again with us?
He does.
Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and grace the God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory?
Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this?
Yeah.
Christ alone my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save.
Now, my friends, so much going on today. Life Sunday, you know? And do we worship the God of life? We have First Communion Sunday. Does God like these young people? Just a little bit, right? And today we're going to be distributing these food baskets to families. Does God love those families? Does he care about them and want them provided for? Yeah. But does God love us? Yeah. Does he feed us everything that we need? And did he use this meal to provide for us the things that we need the most? Forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Did he do it? And since we know he did it, can we leave here with confidence knowing that our God walks with us every step of the way and that he gives us strength in every difficult time, that he dances with us during the good times, that our God loves us and is with us at all times? Can we know this? Yes. So depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood.
Be seated. Children, at this time, if you're going to Sunday school, run out in the lobby. Miss Lauren is waiting to take you away with all the stuff in the lobby. We want to make sure that you guys get to Sunday school in a timely way. Other than that, Pastor Dar is teaching Bible study directly after the service today. To find his Bible study, listen carefully. You walk down the long hallway, turn right. That's the only way you can turn. And then after you turn right, you're going to go through a doorway. And it's going to be the first classroom on the right. So it's right and then right. You can figure this one out, right? Right. All right. Good. So there's that. Don't forget about the angel tree in the lobby. Grab a decoration and buy some gifts. Lutherans for Life is having a door offering today. They use this money to help support crisis pregnancy centers and do educational events for us and for our community. So it's a good use of money. Go ahead and leave an offering as you leave today. And that's it. Look at that. Blank page. Outstanding. Guys, you guys have a wonderful day, wonderful week. Thank you for worshiping with us today. God's blessings as you go your way.